Who likes the sound of extraordinary business results? We've got an episode here that's going to share with you how you can get your own extraordinary business result because we have a guest who transformed a small family business into a global market leader in the coffee industry with customers in over 70 countries and distribution facilities on three continents. In the process, sales grew more than 25 times while the earning multiple grew by over 275 times. And his book, Grow Like a Lobster, teaches readers how to plan and prepare for extraordinary business results. Our guest who joins us for this episode is none other than Joshua Dick. Joshua, welcome to the show.
Mark, it is a pleasure to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Joshua, I'm so happy to have you on Breakthrough Success. Thank you for everyone tuning into this episode. We definitely appreciate you, and I think we all appreciate Joshua because I think this episode is going to be really great. So I'm wondering if you could just start with us. What inspired you to write the book, Grow Like a Lobster?
Sure. The book, Grow Like a Lobster, actually came out after I sold a business that I had been building for 15 years. And during the whole time that I ran the business, I kept a business journal or a diary. It was pretty much the place that I vented. I complained about people, employees, frustrations, everything. And when I sold the business, I sat down and read the diary. And in it, I realized that I had learned so much about how to build a business that I wished someone had told me before I was getting started. So really, the book is sort of my way of trying to put those lessons learned into an easily organized guidebook for how to do things and get things done.
And it's interesting how you take your past experiences and lessons that were just meant for you and you decide to share them with the world and also make them more structured and organized for yourself as a reminder and just for the people who decide to read your book. And I'm wondering just because, I mean, I mentioned about your business and the type of growth you had, what would you say were some of the big drivers that allowed you to achieve that growth?
Well, I think it was interesting. One of the biggest things was that because it started as such a small business, I had very limited bandwidth and, say, resources to do things. And somewhere along the way, I made the decision to make investments that were very foundational every step along the way. And I would put a lot of time and money into effort into doing one thing really well at a time. And all of those big investments that I made ended up paying off dramatically years later, in a way that really led to this strong growth. So it was that focus and that not trying to do too much at once that really paid the biggest dividends for me personally and for the business.
And these investments, are we talking about employees, coaches, stores?
So for me, probably the simplest story to tell was the enterprise resource software package. We bought a really, really sophisticated package that was much more than the business needed at the time we were making the investment. But I believed in sort of buying and investing in things, whether it be software or production equipment or even hiring people with a vision of where we wanted to go, not necessarily basing it on where we were at the moment, but where we hope to be. And for that way and with that mindset, those types of bigger investments and foundational things became clearer and more obvious.
Yeah, and sometimes it's a great point you mentioned software because I know for me, ThriveCard has been a big game changer for my business. And it's a matter of making those types of investments on what you see yourself becoming in the future because it's one thing to invest in stocks and real estate, but the best investment is always going to be in yourself, in what you're doing because you have the most control over your business. And for people who are, you know, like, I feel like part of growing is investing, whether it's their time and money. I feel like people are very scared to invest their money into a business, especially at those early stages. So what advice do you have for those people?
Well, I think the thing is, you have to find and figure out what the business that you're really trying to create is going to be, can be, and what you want it to be. And when it's something that meets all of those requirements, in the book, I talk a lot about the idea of figuring out what's important to you and defining and articulating that in a clear and consistent mission and objectives of the business and defining it in a way that isn't just what's going to make me the most money, but what's going to help me achieve what I like to say, my dream job. What is it that's important to me personally?
And it's interesting Joshua uses the words dream job because on entrepreneurship. There's this nature of getting out of the job. There's this nature of why do you have one income stream? I even started a whole new podcast that's the job just to address this particular segment. But there is this idea of the dream job in the sense where what is it that you want your business to be? And I think that's the question Josh was really bringing home, that not as many people think about. Like, we're in the work, we're in the hustle, but what do you want your business to be? What kind of person do you want you to be in the future? And how does the business connect with that? And I feel like asking ourselves those deeper questions gives us an idea of where we need to head.
100% couldn't agree more. You know, there's so much to taking the time to not just kind of think those things through and waste a lot of time at an offsite for 2 or 3 days, but to do it efficiently as a process where you define what it is you want. What are the types of people you want? What's the flexibility? What's the lifestyle? How are you going to measure what it means to be financially successful? And for me, there were little things that I like. I like tinkering. I like machines. My business made things. We were a manufacturing company. Not everybody likes that. But for me, when there were choices between outsourcing production somewhere else or figuring out how to make it ourselves, it made sense that we should try and make it ourselves because that was what I liked. I liked seeing and feeling and touching. And everybody's got to figure out what they like and use that. And because otherwise, they call it work because it's not pleasant. You know, otherwise, you know, there can be some pleasant parts of your job and of your work life.
And so far, I feel like people could take the advice from this, take action on it, and you could definitely get good business results from this. Like, you could definitely, like, you know, you invest in yourself, you get clear on what you want your business to become, and you could definitely get good business results from this. But I know you've been able to achieve extraordinary results just based on that multiples. And I'm wondering what really separates, what's the distinction between people who just get good results and people who get the extraordinary results?
Fantastic question. And again, another thing that I talk a lot about in the book is the idea that we can all build okay businesses that get by, businesses that survive. The businesses that I believe achieve extraordinary results are those that are self-aware, not just about being aware of who your customers are, who your audience is, who your market is, but there's that balance between self-awareness and customer awareness. And you know your capabilities, you know your limitations. And because of that, you can avoid distractions. You can avoid the temptations that sometimes I see businesses take to try and be everything to everyone. And when you're self-aware and you create a business that has this great focus and this clearly articulated objective, you can focus your effort, your resources in all efforts on that and help it to really build something extraordinary. Again, that's the subtitle of the book, Plan and Prepare for Extraordinary Business Results. So you got right on it.
And focus obviously being a really big theme on your business, on the ways you can grow, but also not broadening too much where you are that business for everyone. And one thing I want to touch on is you said, you know, there's a lot, it's easy to build an okay business, one that you survive on. And I feel like part of the reason that a lot of people build these okay businesses that they just survive on is because of what their why is. So I feel like for a lot of people, the why is initially make enough money to get out of my job, make enough money to pay all my expenses. And then they make enough money to pay their expenses and they get out of their job. But then they don't have another why to move forward because they're doing what they, you know, set out to do. So how, like, what's that next why for you? Like, you're at the point where you could pay stuff off, but like, what is that next why that got you to where you are?
Well, the next why for me was the thrill of seeing things happen, one achievement after the next. I think for me, it was building an organization, going from, I started at a very small business. You might call it like a deli, you know, a great, successful, okay business. You go in, you order your sandwich, you know, everyone works together. Maybe the family works there. And what my goal was to build an organization that could exist without my presence. So I hope that what I built or what I was aspiring to build was a chain of, you know, global restaurants, if you want to look at it as we're global sandwich shops, if that might be. So that's sort of the next step. And for me, it was all about that challenge. I mean, at some point, the amount of money that you're making or achieving isn't what you're doing. It has to be that you're enjoying what you're doing and you're getting personal satisfaction and freedom and flexibility to pursue other interests as well.
We've got more great content coming up in this episode, but first we have a quick message from our sponsor. Do you want to become an extraordinary entrepreneur? Aaron Halicki, the Clarity Catalyst, will teach you how. Through her platform, she shares results-oriented secrets of entrepreneurship with people like you. She knows what works and has no problems sharing it with you. You can learn more about her work at aaronhalicki.com and also use the site to book a free intro call with her. Those links will be in the show notes. Anyways, let's jump right back into the episode. And that's a really great point. Having a business that doesn't necessarily need you, because one of the big issues that a lot of businesses face is they are reliant on the business owner, where employees, like, they can't really move forward unless they get your stamp of approval, or you're the only one who's producing all the content. So there is a value in building a business that doesn't necessarily need you. For some, it's harder than others, like Breakthrough Success. Like, people come to, you know, hear me talk to guests and hear what the guests have to say. But for other businesses, I mean, you got to start looking at ways you could cut down on the stuff you directly have to be involved in, so you could focus more on the working on the business versus in the business.
100%. And it comes down to the idea of, have you done the work to lay the foundations that we talked about a little bit earlier? Have you made the investments to, you know, have the right software package that everyone can use without you having to help them? Or have you articulated where you're trying to go and what the goals and expectations are, so you don't have to personally repeat them to each employee every moment? It has to become part of the culture and the fabric of the organization in a way that your physical presence is not needed for each step of the way. And that also ends up increasing the value of the business, because at the point in time when you might want to consider an exit, those potential acquirers don't want to buy a one-man shop. They are interested in an organization that has value that can continue to create cash flow and generate profitability, whether or not the owner or the founder remains around.
Yeah, that's a great point. If you are looking to sell your business and it's obvious you are the person who makes the business run, then that's just going to hurt your ability to sell. And they may say, you know, we want you as an employee. So you have this scenario of you're an employee to your own company, which a lot of people describe that as a weird feeling who fall into that situation. And one of the things we've been playing on throughout the whole episode is that Joshua's book, Grow Like a Lobster, has a subtitle, Plan and Prepare for Extraordinary Business Results. We've talked a lot about how to get them. We've talked a little bit about how to plan for them. But prepare, I find that an interesting word. And I'm wondering if you could share with us, how do we actually prepare for those business results?
So, you know, the idea of really being prepared is one just that came both from my personal sort of weirdness about wanting to be prepared and organized for things, but it also was very clearly articulated in the story of the lobster. Because a lobster, every time it has to grow, every time it wants to grow, it goes through this very traumatic experience where it rips its body out of its shell and it lays on the ground of the ocean as this fleshy, vulnerable creature. And in reading and learning about that, I started to see myself in those experiences. And I was like, oh my God, I'm that just molted lobster, freaking out, vulnerable. And what I realized was all businesses go through these cycles where our shells are hard, things are really good, things are going in the right direction. And other times when things, we hit a bump in the road, I like to say we molted. And what you can do by being aware that those molts are coming is you can get yourself ready. And the preparing comes from thinking about who are the people you might need to hire in the future, so that you're ready to handle a crisis, making sure your inventory levels are where they need to be. Again, the things like the investments in software and packaging and things like that, but also the whole concept of knowing that problems are going to come, expecting them, causes you to think with that expectation in your mind. And to me, that thinking and that thought process is the same thing as being prepared. Just being aware of it makes you more prepared.
Yeah, and there is this concept of over-preparing. And I mean, there are going to be points where we do leave ourselves vulnerable based on all the type of growth and activities we're doing. I think a big example of this is when someone buys their first home and they put all their money into a down payment. I mean, that's a very vulnerable position to be in. But for a lot of people, it is necessary to make that type of a risk to get your first property. And I've heard stories where, you know, people put 5% down and then that's all their life savings and they figure it out later. So there are elements of this where when you force yourself to think that way, you get more creative with the ways that you earn money. But there is also a benefit to preparing more and thinking about, you know, having the proper inventory, having the proper cash flow come in, and having all these things in place before you go, and then keeping them in place as you're moving forward.
Absolutely. And, it's so important. You go back to Stephen Covey and the Seven Habits, the idea of the important versus the urgent. You know, and working on not only urgent things, which come up in all of our businesses every day, but taking the time and effort and bandwidth to work on the important stuff. That's the preparing, and that's the thinking about what's coming. And there you are.
Yeah, I mean, just by the preparation, it definitely just helps you get to where you want to go. And if you're really intentional with it, like with everything we've talked about when it comes to, like, you know, being super specific about what your business is, who you want to serve, and how you see it going in the future and yourself going in the future, that's when you start to achieve the better results. Joshua, for people who want to learn more about you, we're definitely going to include your book, Grow Like a Lobster, in the description. But where else do you want us to go to keep following your work and journey?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much. So I have a website at joshua-dick.com or joshua-dick.com. Unfortunately, someone bought my name without the hyphen in the middle, so I had to go that way. And there you can subscribe to my blog. I write little 3 to 4 minute focused ideas about what's important for certain aspects of a business. It doesn't come out that frequently. There's also a place there to contact me for more information. And the one other thing I'd throw in there is that the book is obviously on Amazon, but it has its own website, growlikealobster.com, that tells you a little bit more about the book.
We will be including those links in the show notes. Joshua, it was a pleasure to have you on Breakthrough Success.
Mark, thanks so much for having me. It was a real pleasure for me too.
And thank you guys joining us for another episode of Breakthrough Success. I think Joshua really delivered for us. And if you guys enjoyed this episode, make sure you guys subscribe and leave a quick review, as all these help out. Whether you're exercising right now or just walking outside or anything like that, thank you guys so much for choosing Breakthrough Success.